Crank up those black lights, put on your dancing shoes, and hop on the bike. Actually, just put on your cycling shoes. Welcome to another Indoor Cycling Association audio masterclass, this one entitled EDM Muscle Madness. And for those of you searching for what the acronym EDM stands for, it stands for Electronic Dance Music. And that's a lot of fun. This is probably a tough profile for me to write, only because I had to go through all the music and select enough songs that would fit within this 1 hour profile. And from an 8 hour playlist, boiling it down to basically 45 minutes, not including warm up and cool down, it was sort of like an extended version of American Idol or whatever the other show was, X Factor, as I had to go through each song and rule them out until eventually I found the perfect songs or the ones I was going to use for this profile. If you previously listened to or used the Stampede class that I did back in November of 2014, this is sort of a continuation, considered an advanced version of Stampede, just due to the numerous amounts of intervals, the relentless nature of it. It is just nonstop, but there is obviously some recovery built into it, somewhat, but for the most part, it is just interval after interval, and it is a great opportunity to, again, defy the cycling cardio gods and let them know that cycling is not just about getting your heart rate up, just about getting that aerobic fitness, but it's also about gaining muscular strength in the legs. And for those of you that might fear, hey, this is the workout that's going to get my legs super big, I don't think so, because there are guys that squat with massive amounts of weight, hundreds of pounds, and their legs still don't get big. So do this. This will get your legs strong. It'll get them toned and sexy, and you'll be thanking Indoor Cycling for all of the great comments that you're going to get. Let me tell you a little bit about this profile, because I'm excited about it. Obviously, we're trying to put strength on the map for this particular class. And, you know, it might confuse some people because they're used to getting their heart rate to the point where their lungs are sort of blowing out of their mouth. And this workout is a little odd. And I do allude to this during one of the cues, or at least two of the cues in the profile itself. And that is, it's an interesting phenomena with this workout, because what tends to happen is, even though we're going to be pushing to our max for each of these strength intervals, we're going to be using slower cadences. We're going to be focusing, I think all the music is pretty much pegged, with the exception of one song, at 64 BPM, or rotations per minute, RPM, depending on how you're looking at it. So this is definitely on the slower side, which is going to put a lot more torque on the muscles and has the potential to not drive our aerobic intensity, or the sense of our aerobic intensity, super, super high. Now, what you will experience, that phenomenon that I'm talking about, is where, if we're looking at a zone from 1 to 5, most of our strength intervals from the legs perspective, so if you imagine your legs had a brain for a second, and your lungs had a brain, your legs would be saying, whoa, this is zone 5. But your lungs, since they're not being emphasized, not that they're not being used, but if they're not being emphasized, they still have room to go before they're thoroughly tortured. So if you think about it another way, and I ask you the question, what would fail first during this interval, or any of the intervals in this profile? Your first thought should be, my legs would fail before my breathing. So that's the approach that we're looking for this particular profile. We're really going to tax the muscles of the legs. We're going to tax those legs to the point where they are close to failure. Something I mentioned in pretty much any type of profile that's interval-based is to give your riders time checks and countdowns. Very, very important. Particularly when you're pushing people to the limit, they need to know those last few seconds. Some of the intervals start out at 30 seconds, and then they go up to the last one, which is over a minute, well over a minute. I'll get to that towards the end. But as you're getting them closer and closer to that failure point, I mean, the goal is to get them to failure, muscle failure, that is, by the end of the interval. So if you're counting them down or giving them a 30-second interval, make sure you don't say, okay, you know, go, and then you just leave dead air. You know, of course, the music is thumping and crunching in the background, but don't just leave them hanging and say, okay, you know, 3, 2, 1, you're done, because that's going to be 25 seconds of where the heck am I, and will this pain ever stop? My suggestion, if you're going to give them a 30-second countdown, I would say, you know, go, you got 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 15, 10, 4, 3, 2, 1. So the closer you get to the goal, the more cues you want to give them, because that's where they're closest to failure. So as I mentioned, the music is EDM, and it's fun stuff. If you've not heard any EDM music out there, I'm sure you have. You might not have known it was called EDM. There's a lot of different genres and subgenres of EDM, and I won't get into them, although I do have two other profiles that hopefully I'll submit at some point. One of them is my EDM lung workout, which is pretty much the opposite of this one, where it's using a lot faster music that ranges in the 90 RPM range. And of course, that's going to throw the emphasis on your ability or inability to breathe. And then I have another one called EDM climbing, where these particular intervals are shorter, where the EDM climbing intervals are longer, up to 21 to 28 minutes. So, you know, different training effect. But right now we're going to focus on that muscular strength. The way a lot of EDM music is structured is, you know, you have this sort of opening rhythm. There's some vocals intertwined in there, not a ton of vocals, but maybe just enough to appease those who don't particularly care for straight electronic instrumental type music. And then there's what's called the drop, and it's this big, heavy bass sort of ridden piece of the music where, you know, the ground shakes and you just feel like you want to jump out of your body and do all kinds of crazy stuff. So during those drops are when we're going to be performing our intervals. And you'll get the hang of it. If you don't know what a drop is, just listen to some of the songs, listen to the timings that I've given for the songs, and you'll figure out what a drop is very, very quickly. So each of the drops will basically be our intervals. And we're going to do somewhere in the neighborhood of, I believe it was 22 strength intervals, if they do them all. Keep in mind that I try to encourage people to go for quality when we're faced with an interval type workout, because intervals require you to be able to perform at your maximum for each effort. So if someone gets to the point where they've done, you know, whatever, 10 plus intervals, and now their legs are fried, or just mentally they're just not ready for the next one, when it arrives, have them skip it. Really help them to focus on quality, not quantity. There's no awards given out for doing all 22 strength intervals. However, there are great benefits for doing as many intervals as possible to the best of your ability. That's when your body is going to get stressed in a good way. That's when it's going to adapt, and that's what we want. Doing all the intervals not at your best is just going to fatigue your body without the benefits of the adaptation. So we don't want that. So go for that quality. The intervals are going to challenge people, and we're going to build this profile is progressive. So we're going to start out with shorter intervals of 30 seconds. We're going to do a few of those. The first segment starts out with 4 30-second intervals. And the recovery times are a little shorter during the first song, because we're kind of figuring things out. You know, we want them to start pushing not right away into zone 5, into that maximum intensity range, but we do want them to start learning what it means to put that amount of force on the body. And there's a number of things that they're going to need to learn. One is, can they do it? Is it even appropriate for them to do it? If they have injuries, if they have joint alignment problems, if they have reservations, they need to listen to their body, listen to the advice they've been given. If they're working with a doctor or PT or whatever it is they've been given, they need to adhere to that and not get so excited about trying to do the workout that they put themselves at risk of injury. So they want to definitely pay attention to their body, but they want to learn as they go. You know, take the 30-second intervals that are done at the beginning and use them to build. You know, can you get close to what you would consider to be your zone 4? Can you hold what you've started at the beginning of that 30-second interval and hold the same amount of resistance or power, and we're going to talk about that in just a second, as you get towards the end of the interval. Now, if you have power meters on your bike, more excitement ahead of you, because now you can start to track how much power, how many watts you're pushing per interval. And you can start to see, number one, how strong you are. You can also see incremental improvement, and you have a way of measuring your improvement. What I suggest for workouts like this that are extremely difficult and pushing you towards the edge, that if you felt like you had more to give during a previous interval, don't go ballistic during the next one trying to see how hard you can go. Bump it up by 10 to 20 watts and see how your body responds. Remember, power is more of a curvilinear effect on the body. It doesn't just kind of increase slowly. Once you get to a certain power range, the curve gets steeper. And then 20 watts earlier felt really an easy increase, where 20 watts sort of when you're in a higher wattage range can be deadly. So encourage people to do that. Obviously, if you have the power meters, you can have a lot of fun. They can start targeting either the same or greater power levels per interval. And they can sort of play around that where that, you know, where their body goes and where their power is. During the second segment, we're going to want to start to push even more. So if they've been playing around with the first four, which I really encourage them to do, I would overemphasize the fact that this workout gets absolutely brutal by the end. So people really don't need to entertain thoughts of, oh, I'm going too easy in the beginning, or I'm not getting the workout I needed, or I'm not burning that many calories, or my legs still feel happy. Don't worry about it. All that will be addressed by the end, whether they like it or not. But it is really important that they build progressively, because if they hit this workout too hard in the beginning, what will happen is they will basically lose the ability to feel thoroughly wasted at the end. And as an instructor, it's kind of a bummer, because I want to torture people the entire profile. And if they kill themselves in the first 4 to 8 intervals, and I don't get to torture them for the rest of the class. So, you know, that's a little joke I throw out there. Feel free to use it. But, you know, that's really the goal, is to be able to build. So, you know, keep them calm, keep them patient. As we get into the second set of intervals, we're going to now, you know, this is intervals 5 and 6, because the first four were from our first set. Intervals 5 and 6, same length of time, 30 seconds, but now we're going to start to push a little bit. Push a little bit harder, maybe that 10 to 20 watts if they have a power meter. They need to be able to maintain the cadence. So if they're starting to drop below 64 BPM or even 60, you know, give them a range. You don't have to peg it. A lot of bikes that do have cadence meters on them fluctuate sometimes 5 to 10 BPM depending on how well calibrated they are. So you don't want people to get too focused on a particular number as if they're trying to nail it to the ground. Just let them know that those numbers fluctuate and for them to relax and enjoy. But if they start dropping below 60 in a 60 to 65 BPM range, then they probably want to back off a little bit of resistance so they can maintain their cadence. Very, very important. So again, next intervals 5 and 6, pushing the limit a little bit on how much wattage they can hold. And then we get into the next segment, which is interval 7 and 8. And now we're going to see if we can maintain the same amount of power, but increase the length of time. Our overall goal is to get to that 1 minute. That's what we want to, that's our sweet spot for this particular class. Why I picked that, maybe it was just the way the songs worked out, but 1 minute for some reason seems like a nice round number, which becomes very painful as we get towards the end. Interval 7 and 8, we're pushing now for 45 seconds. Not much recovery after the first one, about 30 seconds, but they get 2 minutes to recover after that first 45 second interval. So, you know, there is some pieces of sanity sprinkled here and there throughout the profile, but, you know, they are prepared to work, and now they're experiencing holding consistent maximum power for a longer period of time. And just like we did in the beginning, where we started them out with 30 seconds of sort of a moderate to hard interval and then sort of asked them to add more, we're going to do the same thing. We want the next two intervals, intervals 9 and 10, to be even stronger. We want them to be able to You know, take that 45 seconds and bump up the power or bump up what their perceived amount of resistance is. And because of that, we're going to give them more recovery. After the first one, after interval 9, we're going to give them a minute. And then after interval 10, we're going to give them 2.5 minutes, because after that, we're going to our goal, which is 60 seconds, 1 minute of raw power. And this is where people need to take some assessments, and I would direct them as many times as you can back to their form. Because what happens a lot with workouts like this, where people are really, really focused on getting as much as they can out of the bike, you see it with speed cadence workouts, you're gonna see it here with strength workouts, is that they are going to try to muscle that bike and squeeze every watt that they possibly can out of their legs. And in doing so, oftentimes their form suffers. What do I mean by that? Well, they'll start to hunch their shoulders, they'll start to pull on the bars, they'll start to bend over and torque and twist unnaturally on the bike to try to get those legs to turn over those big, big watts, those huge amounts of force. So you want them to revisit and stabilize themselves, not in a stabilize like hold still, but settle into great form and good alignment. Hopefully your studios have some mirrors somewhere where your riders can check on their form, make sure they're remaining relaxed. And when they do so, they should feel, particularly in the upper body, when you relax the upper body, you're gonna feel the emphasis of the force go towards the legs, particularly at the hips. And they should have a sense that they're heavier, not in a bad way, but feeling sort of heavier in the saddle because they're so relaxed. They're allowing the bike to activate the muscles. They're not forcing their muscles into activation. It's a totally different thing. So here we are, intervals 11, 12. Now we're going for our 60 seconds, our full minute, just like we did before with the 30 second intervals and with the first 45 second intervals, we want to build. They're gonna have to learn, can they hold the same amount of power that they did for 30 or 45 seconds? Most likely not. They're gonna have to dial it back a little bit. So we're gonna take this and we're gonna experiment with how much power we can push now for a minute. Now, even though we are putting a tempo out there of somewhere between 60, 65, if someone has injuries and they're feeling a lot of stress, particularly in the knee joint or hip joint, lower back, when they're pushing these slower cadences, they can do them at a faster cadence. Everyone needs to work at their own level. Try not to force people too much to conform to the specifics of the intensity, but obviously we want them to conform to correctness in cycling. So those are two different things. But if they feel like, hey, you know what, I can't pedal that slow, it really hurts my knees, I wind up putting too much force, have them back off, have them do 65 to 70 RPM as their target, or even 70 to 75. It still gives them some benefit, particularly if they can't do the slower speeds. There's no sense harming someone for the sake of the workout. As we get into the next segment, intervals 13 and 14, where we're gonna push the length of time a little bit more. And I know I said that 1 minute was our goal, but it's a great way of determining whether we can hold something for a minute and it was our absolute maximum amount of force, or if we've had a little bit more in the tank. And one way to do that is to extend the time. Now, we're not gonna extend it by crazy lengths, but we're gonna extend it by 15 seconds. So instead of going a minute, for the second one in this segment, which is interval 14, we're gonna push them for a minute and 15 seconds. So that extra 15 seconds is going to tell us something about how much we can or cannot push beyond what our target is or what we've targeted to this point. So obviously if someone cannot push up to the 60 seconds, then they need to dial back a little bit and figure out how they can actually survive for the entire piece of length of time. If someone can go all the way to a minute 15, that means that we can probably add a little bit more. Again, not going crazy, no more than 10 to 20 watts of increase at a time, or just a small amount of noticeable resistance in addition to what they've currently been doing. As we move on, you know, we're getting more and more intense. Now I'm going to add some standing. Standing is always a lot of fun, and it affects people differently. So for the first interval in this segment, which is interval number 15, we're going to continue staying seated. We're going to stay seated for that entire 60 seconds. They've had an opportunity to experiment with that extra 15. You know, we push them over the minute, Now we want to give them another interval at a minute so that they can make some adjustments. If they were able to hold it for the whole minute and 15 seconds, then let them do another interval, another 60-second interval with a little bit more resistance, a little bit more power, and see if they can dial that in a little bit. So, you know, we're going to give them a chance to test things out. But now, for interval 16, we're going to get them to come up out of the saddle for the last 15 seconds. And dare I say, it's 15 seconds in addition to that minute. So again, we're pushing the envelope a little bit, but we're changing the stimulus. Now, some of the questions I asked in the profile are, does standing relieve some of the stress on the legs? And this is common for a lot of people. You're pushing a lot of resistance, you come up out of the saddle, and your legs feel like they've been given a little bit of a break. Nothing crazy, but just a little reprieve, and that is because in many cases, when you come up out of the saddle, you can now use your body weight to assist powering the pedals, where you couldn't use your body weight effectively in the saddle. Another question, how does standing affect your heart rate and breathing? In many cases, particularly when someone's pushed to the edge, when they come up out of that saddle, although it might take a little bit of sort of stress off the legs, now they're standing, requiring more energy, more aerobic energy, and their breathing is going to increase. Of course, the bigger question is, can they handle more resistance when they stand? Some will be able to, some won't. Of course, this is going to lead us into the sort of a second half, or even the whatever you want to call it, the last third of our workout, where we're going to incorporate a lot more standing. Some of it for the sake of standing, and some of it for the sake of absolute cruelty. We get into the next segment, which is interval 17 and 18, and we're going to continue standing, but we're going to keep it within that minute. So we're going to do 45 seconds seated, and then in the end, this is where they got to make that decision. Were they able to add resistance and come up out of the saddle? They basically just able to hold it when they stood, their heart rate went through the roof, so adding resistance was just insult on top of injury. This is what they're going to experiment with this segment, with these two intervals. Giving them some nicer recovery, a minute and 15 for the first one, and then 2 minutes after interval 18 to try to pull it together. Now, I just want to make a note about the recovery, because a lot of times in classes with indoor cycling, recovery is sort of the enemy. It's almost, you know, worse than when people say base training. But recovery, you know, usually means to people that, hey, I'm not working hard, of course, and I'm also not burning calories, which, you know, they're worried about, you know, their overall calorie count for the class. In reality, if you were doing these workouts, if you were with me, if you were on my team, we were outdoors, and I was leading you through this workout as your coach, I would give you somewhere between 4 and 6 minutes per interval. That's per 1 minute interval. You'd get 4 to 6 minutes to recover before you would perform another one, because it would take you that long for your body to recover, for your nervous system to restore itself. Otherwise, your power is going to drop over the course of time, over each interval. So even though in the indoor cycling world, where we like to be jammed and punched and brutalized every, you know, 10 seconds if possible, we look at a minute to 2 minutes as a very small amount of recovery. As a large amount of recovery. It is a very, very small amount of recovery, and that's something you can help your riders with. If you're feeling great and you're feeling like the recovery is too long at a minute to 2 minutes, you are not doing this workout correctly. You are not working hard enough. There is no discussion needed. So you can have a little fun with that. I'm sure that'll cheer a lot of people up. As we get into the next segment, this is where we start to really overtax the legs. And again, you know, throw out the warnings. They're not necessarily there to hype the class up, although they do serve that purpose in a lot of ways. But let people know they need to listen to their bodies even more than they did before, because now their legs, their bodies, their minds, everything is absolutely fatigued. So we're going to take their body and now take their legs and overload them. And how we're going to do that is we're going to do these 60-second intervals, but we're going to start standing. And what will happen is we're going to have them load that resistance, force themselves out of the saddle for the interval number 19, they're going to stand for 45 seconds and then hit the saddle without touching the resistance and hopefully without changing their cadence, stay right on that 60-65 RPM range, and then continue pedaling through all that resistance without the aid of their body weight for 15 seconds. During interval 20, which is the next one, we're going to push it a little bit more and give them a little bit more torture on the legs, a little bit more overload, because we're only going to have them stand for 30 seconds and then sit and just gruel it or drill it out for 30 seconds. It's just absolutely grueling. And that'll be a lot of fun because, again, we'll get to see how fatigued they are. Are they starting to drop power at that point? Can they generate more power seated or standing? And one thing I like to bring out here, particularly during this set, is another sort of weird thing happens. And this is more common, I think, for those that are solely indoor cyclists and not outdoor cyclists. Although, you know, I've kind of seen it, this realization happen on both sides of the coin, if you will, where, oddly enough, the seated efforts become harder than the standing efforts just because of the sheer force on the legs. And it's odd because most people think of, I'm going to get out of the saddle, and that's harder. And I've seen it with many, many indoor cycling classes that I've either taught or watched where people think, oh, wow, it's that standing efforts coming up. That's when things are going to get really, really hard. In this particular workout, you should feel like standing is actually relief because you're using your body weight. You're not having to use just pure mechanics and of course, muscular strength to turn those pedals. Coming up out of the saddle, now you get to use your body weight. But of course, after saying all that, the last segment, which are the final two intervals number 21 to 22, pretty much just take what I just said and throw it into the garbage because we are going to try to brutalize the legs as best as possible. And how we're going to do that is we're going to, number one, increase the length of time to 75 seconds. We are going to start seated. So we're going to do the first, and I'll describe interval 21 and then interval 22. The last interval is a little bit different. But the second to last interval, we're going to start seated for 30 seconds. Same thing. We're going to load as much force as we can. You know, obviously, that's going to be respective to how fatigued we are, et cetera, et cetera. If we can't hold our form anymore, then we need to back down. So if your form is good, you still feel like you're mentally in the game, you're physically in the game, then, you know, go for these last two intervals. So second to last interval, 30 seconds seated, holding as much force as you possibly can. Then we're going to not just stand, we're going to force ourselves to stand. How do we do that? We add some more resistance. Our body says, I cannot sit any longer. You come up out of the saddle for 15 seconds. And then after 15 seconds, again, without changing the resistance, without reducing it, without slowing your cadence, you're going to hit the saddle and hold it for 30 seconds. That is torture. Now, if you can't do 30 seconds, that's fine. We are really trying to get to that failure point. That is the goal with this particular workout. That's how the body really triggers the adaptation, is when it starts to push beyond the comfort zone into the realm of failure. And then the body says, look, in order to maintain what this person is trying to do to me, we need to start getting stronger. And hence, adaptation begins. The last interval is just cruel. There's no other way to put it. We start out the same way. We load all that resistance seated. We hold it for 30 seconds. Just when we think we can't hold it anymore, we add more resistance. We come up out of the saddle for 15 seconds. And then the final kicker is that instead of hitting the saddle for 30, we're going to go for absolute muscle mangulation and stay in the saddle for an entire minute, not touching the resistance, hopefully not slowing the cadence, not torquing our upper body, not muscling the bike, but trying to hold the best form possible all the way to the end. Cool down and stretch. Well, there should be a good amount of cool down. Riders might want to stay on the bike a little longer. I always encourage my riders to do that if they don't want to stretch with the class. I usually stretch for the last somewhere from 6 to 8 minutes, depending on the workout. But I honestly like to cool down longer myself, so I don't want to deprive that of anyone in my class. So I'll let them know, hey, you can ride all the way to the end, If you're not going to stretch with us, please stretch on your own. A ride like this that pushes your body to the limit, whether it be through high cadence, like I've done in some of the previous profiles I've submitted, or a ride like this where it's heavy, heavy, maximum load on the legs, is not only going to show you limitations in your own muscular strength, but it might show you some need for a change in bike setup. If a rider is feeling like they were fighting their bike, that they were uncomfortable on the bike, obviously feeling any pain, discomfort in joints, etc., it might be a good opportunity for them to revisit their bike setup. So I sometimes will even skip the stretch at the end. I mean, I'll let people stretch on their own, but I will identify people that want me to take a look at their bike setup after a ride like this, and obviously talk to them, find out what they experienced, and then make some decisions on how to change and adjust the bike to basically address what they were talking about. I do want to emphasize how important it is to recover after a ride like this. So many of the gym rats are just gonna, you know, they're gonna jump from one workout to the other, and unfortunately it will just skew what kind of results they'll get from this, because if their body is just tortured all the time, they're never gonna get the strength gains. Their body's gonna plateau out. Of course, there's overtraining and overreaching and all that good stuff that awaits them if they're undisciplined. But encourage them to hydrate. Make sure they fuel, particularly eat something within the next 30 to 45 minutes at the latest. Some stretching, any other type of restorative exercise, whether it be yoga, Pilates, foam rolling, always, always good, and recovery time. And give them permission to skip a workout, particularly if their workout's like in the afternoon. If you're teaching a morning class and they're thinking about working out in the afternoon, they should skip it. If they don't feel like they need to skip that class, then they didn't do your class correctly. I would even say that they should have a day off after a workout like this. And if they are going to ride, it needs to be something very, very light, something very easy, like a recovery or an easy spin. So hopefully your riders will enjoy this as much as you enjoy dishing it out to them. But it's a ton of fun. And I look forward to your feedback and anything, any thoughts, threats, nasty emails that your riders send to you for delivering something such as this to their legs.